Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com and Wednesdays with Walton. It is my weekly visit with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. Does an amazing job covering the Cardinals minor league system, and he'll also mix in what's happening around the major leagues. So, lots to get into, and the big news concerning the Cardinals yesterday, the extension for Miles Michaelis, and the Cardinals also have brought in Matt Wieters on a minor league deal. He's a former All-Star catcher, great years with Baltimore, also had a couple of years with the Washington Nationals. He'll sign a minor league deal, and he'll be a backup at some point. It's a minor league deal, switch hitter, flexibility on the bench. And we'll see how that plays out during spring training. This is brought to you in brilliant clarity by Lordo's Diamonds, family-owned and operated for over 60 years, top-quality jewelry at affordable prices. So stop paying too much at the chain stores and experience the Lordo's Diamonds difference. Mike and Jimmy Lordo, they're there every day. Welcome the opportunity to work with you. So you'll enjoy the relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere and selection. It's second to none. Check them out online, lordosdiamonds.com. Some of the other subjects we'll get into, and you probably noticed it on the games on Fox Sports Midwest. By the way, the next telecast of Cardinals baseball locally on Fox Midwest will be Saturday. Are the young players that get in, and Brian knows these players quite well. We'll talk about Andrew Kisner, who is a top prospect catching in the Cardinals system. Who are the other prospects that the Cardinals have as far as catchers? Max Schrock, off to a great start. Also, you think about Tommy Edman. Kind of looks like Daniel Descalso when I watch him play. We're going to talk about that. Ryan Helsley, Dylan Carlson, Steppkamp, new additions there. And just also the Michaelis addition, what it means in terms of his extension, what it means for stability in the rotation for the Cardinals moving forward. So all those subjects, long visit coming up Wednesdays with Walton on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
I'm Ryan Kelly with TheHomeLoanExpert.com. If you're even considering buying a home this year, get pre-approved today at TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Don't be the only offer on the table without a pre-approval letter from TheHomeLoanExpert.com. The Home Loan Expert LLC.
Hey Cardinals fans, Dan McLaughlin here from my friends at Schnucks. No, it's still not baseball season, but we can start getting ready. If you haven't already, start spring training by downloading the Schnucks Rewards app. That way, when you're loading up on the brats, the burgers, and everything else you need for Cardinals games, you'll be earning points and money off at Schnucks. Think of all those savings over the course of the entire season, and make sure you shop at Schnucks. Download the Schnucks Rewards app today. It's almost here. Get ready at Schnucks. Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios and spring training with the Cardinals, I'm Dan McLaughlin, Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. And for folks that have tuned in on Fox Sports Midwest, you've been seeing plenty of the minor leaguers, and that's where Brian Walton makes his living on thecardinalnation.com, seeing those minor leaguers day in and day out. Brian does a great job not only covering the minor leagues of the Cardinals, but also taking a look at what happens with the major league club as well. And Brian, let's jump into the major league club. Before we start taking a look at those minor leaguers, some of those making an impression in the first four games and really the first week and a half or so of spring training. Yesterday, Miles Michaelis signs a four-year extension, $68 million. Michaelis now really the next guy, the face of the rotation in a way with Jack Flaherty and some of the others, but your impressions of Miles Michaelis signing this contract?
Well, some people I've seen have commented, hey, it seems like a lot to give given the guy's only had 1 year. But I think folks need to look back at his prior success in Japan and that consistency of a guy who's a pitch master. You know, we've seen that he's not a velocity guy. He's got multiple pitches and can put the ball where they want him, and that where he wants it, and that's a pretty important capability. It's something that, you know, he should be able to carry for a longer period as he moves into his mid-30s, because his contract's going to cover through his, you know, his age 32 through 35 season. But as you said, Adam Wainwright, is reaching the end of his career, and Miles Michaelis is going to be the veteran guy who's going to be at the front of the rotation for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, and the Cardinals now, you know, the way that they have this thing set up, Flaherty under control, Hudson under control, You think about the others, Gomber, Ponce de Leon, many others, Ryan Helsley, now Michaelis. You know, they could have a formidable pitching staff for many years to come, and that's what they wanted to do. You lock up a guy, and you have a guy with experience. He's locked up, and so it's kind of the way that they've done this. I thought that this is a typical John Mozeliak move. You look at one of these guys that they bring into the organization or that they draft into the organization, and in this case, he lives here year-round, so it would make sense that there'd be, you know, a guy that would be open to an extension. It just made sense. You know, a spring training signing kind of flies under the radar. He wants to be here. They want him here. It just makes a lot of sense. A lot of things fell into place to make this thing happen.
Yep, and this was pretty much telegraphed. I think folks kind of knew and expected this to go on. Maybe they didn't know if it was going to be 3 years versus 4 years. But, I mean, you look at $17 million a year, and that's a pretty reasonable price in today's market for a guy who's a front-of-the-rotation pitcher. And, you know, there's no reason to believe that what we saw from Miles Michaelis in 2018 was a fluke. You know, maybe the numbers won't be exactly the same, but, you know, he had a very, very consistent season. And, you know, where would the Cardinals have been without him last year?
Do you think this calms the waters a little bit around Major League Baseball when you see Nolan Arenado sign and you've seen now Manny Machado sign and now it's Miles Michaelis getting a very healthy extension? Does it calm the waters a little bit with Major League Baseball and the lack of movement that we saw and now we're seeing big numbers being thrown out there with some of these big players?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting because some of these deals that are getting done, a significant number of them are you know, arbitration two guys that are 5 years into their career. And we're seeing guys now sort of, I won't say rush to sign, but they're signing a year before they actually hit free agency. And maybe some of it's trepidation over the, you know, the way that the market's gone for the big free agents this year, that a Miles Michaelis or a Nolan Arenado say, hey, you know, these offers are good enough. I'm willing to stay with my team and, you know, sign this deal now and not deal with that free agent mess next winter.
We also saw the Cardinals on a much lesser scale signing Matt Wieters to a minor league deal. Now, this is a former all-star catcher with the Baltimore Orioles, spent a couple of years with the Washington Nationals. Francisco Peña, we thought that maybe, hey, he's going to be penciled in as the backup catcher for Yadier Molina. Molina, by the way, for those who don't know, they are going to get him some DH work. He has caught some bullpens along the way here, rehabbing a knee injury and a cleanup surgery. But the signing of Matt Wieters, who is a switch hitter, which I think is important to point out. The Cardinals don't have a lot of depth on the left side of their bench. What do you think about Matt Wieters coming into the fold?
I think it's a great addition. I'm surprised that Matt Wieters couldn't find a better deal on some other team because, of course, the normal environment is that Yadier Molina's backup maybe plays once every 2 weeks. But I think it's a great move for the Cardinals. I mean, the guy's a four-time All-Star as recently as 2016. Now, the last couple of innings, won a couple of Gold Gloves. You know, obviously, the last couple of years with Washington, he didn't hit well. He had a lot of injuries, but he was expected to be the main guy. This is going to be the first year in his career where Matt Wieters is going to be a backup, and you know maybe he'll see a little bit more time than Francisco Peña did. And even Wieters' worst year, which was in 2017, his OPS was like 120 points ahead of what Peña did last year. So I don't think there's any doubt that Wieters, I mean, like I said, he's got Gold Gloves, so he's good defensively. And you know, in his bat, even in his worst situation, is head and shoulders above Peña. So I think the question, you know, will Peña be happy, you know, going to AAA and working with Andrew Kisner, who, you know, looks like he's going to be the, you know, the everyday catcher at Memphis.
Yeah, I think they had to address the situation with a left-handed bat too, Brian. I mean, you're looking at spring training right now, and in my mind, to face a tough right-handed pitcher late in the game, and this is no disrespect to Drew Robinson or Tommy Edman or Max Schrock or some of the others that we're seeing here early, but the best option may have been Jose Martinez, right-handed against right-handed. They just don't have an option right now to go with a left-handed bat to come off the bench and give some kind of threat, some kind of damage. And
you make a great point that you know, this might, you know, minimize some of the pressure of putting Drew Robinson on the team just because of his handedness. I think the other side of the coin, though, is that every team, not just the Cardinals, are reluctant to use their backup catcher and burn him in a pinch hitting spot. And then, you know, if there's an injury behind the plate, they don't have anybody to step in. And so, you know, traditionally, of course, the backup catcher is the very last guy on the bench.
Absolutely. Well, the heck with that.
So, you know, then they need to have somebody trained as the, I guess, the, you know, the emergency catcher. I guess it was Greg Garcia, that guy in recent years.
Yes, he was. Well, somebody better learn real fast and find a catcher's glove and a catcher's mitt. That's what's going to happen because that's what you're going to have. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to have to grab a glove. And if by some random chance that happens and Yadier Molina rarely, if ever, goes out, you know, I mean, it happens, what, once in 100 times, 200 times, once in 1,000 times? But it may happen.
They just need to be ready so they can use Wieters in that pinch hitting role and not be nervous. Because I think you're on an excellent point there.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the main reasons why maybe you go out and sign him. You talked about Andrew Kisner. I've seen enough to look at him already last year in spring. I know you've seen him a bunch, and I'm watching him early in this spring. He can handle the bat. Give our listeners more of an idea, because they're going to see a lot of him here in spring training, especially with Yadi out, what kind of player this guy is.
Good size, obviously, as we've seen. Intelligent guy, very conscientious guy. At the plate, he's obviously a very good hitter for average. The power that you would expect from him hasn't really emerged yet, and so that's the one part of his offensive game that folks are hoping to see a little more of at Memphis this year. Defensively, he's got a strong arm. He's a former third baseman. The work that he spent and most was in blocking, you know, and the work in the defensive side behind the plate in catching and receiving. And he's made progress there, and they're expecting, obviously, this year for him to be at Memphis and get more or less every day at bats and be ready if there's problems down the road. And again, like I said, the question will be, you know, will Pena be the guy alongside him, or will Joe Hudson? Joe Hudson was kind of as a minor league veteran, had a little bit of cup of coffee in the major leagues. But he was another guy they signed, and we thought he was going to be the guy at Memphis, but he might get pushed out if Pena goes down there. Not clear. And then you've got Jeremy Martinez, who's was drafted, I think, in the fourth or fifth round a few years ago out of Southern Cal. A pretty good catcher as well. He's in camp this year. So, you know, they've got some good catchers coming up the line, as well as a couple of young guys in Class A, and even a guy down in the Gulf Coast League this year, Ivan Herrera, who's also interesting. So they got a number of catchers in the pipeline.
Reminder that Hair Salon for Men brings us Brian Walton, home base in St. Louis, founded in 1997, now with 16 locations in St. Louis. I go there, take both my boys there. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all for $22, and that's at Hair Salon for Men. And the Blues have been red hot, so join the party at St. Louis Blues Hockey at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. All the food and drink specials during the Blues games. It's the place to take in college basketball, March Madness right around the corner, and St. Louis Blues Hockey. Hotshot's proud partner of the St. Louis Blues, home for all the games all the time since 1990. Max Schrock getting a lot of playing time. And a guy that we wanted to see so much of at spring training last year. Part of the Piscotty deal, only played in 2 spring training games. Are we seeing now a little bit more the best of Max Schrock so far early on in camp?
Yeah, and Max Schrock got hurt early last spring. And, you know, the buzz was much more about Max Schrock than Gerald Munoz a year ago at this time. And Schrock was just hurt. He never was a factor. But, you know, it's interesting here in the early part of camp, the Max Schrocks, Dylan Carlsons, Ramon Urias, Drew Robinson, Tommy Edman, those are the guys who are getting the most at-bats right now. And a number of these young guys are stepping up and looking good. And Max Schrock is certainly one of them. 4 runs driven in. Has also drawn a couple walks, which is encouraging.
His main tool
is his bat.
You know, when I watch Tommy Edman, I think I'm watching Daniel Descalso. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You know, I think Tommy Edman's a better shortstop than Daniel Descalso ever was defensively. But he's a versatile guy. You know, obviously he can pinch hit. He can switch hit both sides of the plate. Again, smart guy from Stanford. He's drawn 3 walks this spring, so he's shown the patience necessary. He performed very well when he was called up to Memphis. Was a co-MVP in the Pacific Coast League playoffs. He's probably not going to make the team this spring. He's not yet on the 40-man roster, but he's a guy that, you know, we're going to see in St. Louis, you know, fairly soon, and he's a guy who, you know, could become that all-around utility infielder because he can, his primary position is short, but he can also play second and third. And as I say, you know, being able to, again, hit from both sides, just as we talked about with Weeders, is a nice guy to have on your bench.
You know, Brian, when you look at the way the 40-man roster right now is currently constructed, and there's a lot of time between now and opening day, if Paul DeJong would go down, who would be the backup right now that you would feel comfortable with? Now, you've got Jericho there. You have Jairo Munoz. We've seen that. But if you had to have an extended period of time with a shortstop, is there somebody that you would feel comfortable with there defensively that could play that position every day?
I think it's Edmundo Sosa if you can afford his bat. Because Edmundo Sosa, while he has been a good hitter in the minor leagues, he's not been a great hitter, and he is still, you know, he needs more work at AAA. But Edmundo Sosa has been around so long, this is actually his last option year. So Sosa's got to, you know, he's got to prove during 2019 that either he's a major leaguer or, you know, he's going to be playing somewhere else in 2020. But I mean, he is a shortstop, and he's a better shortstop than Munoz for sure. And you know, Jericho is a second baseman or third baseman playing short. I don't think he's a long term defensive answer for sure.
Yeah, it's a good point. And Sosa can flat out pick it.
Sosa can handle it defensively, but you know, then you've got a weak bat in your lineup.
Sure. You mentioned the name Dylan Carlson, and I've been intrigued watching him, just how he goes about his business, seeing him up close, just how sometimes you watch how a guy just takes a pitch, and he made a really nice play in left field with a diving catch the other day. Give our fans and our listeners an idea a little bit more about Dylan Carlson, who was one of the top picks a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Dylan Carlson was drafted out of a California high school, coach's son, first rounder, but good size, as we've seen, 6'3", just under 200 pounds. Again, a switch hitter. Carlson's never really had a breakout year with a bat yet, and one of the reasons why is that he's been one of the youngest players in his league every year. And last year, you know, he held his own in the Florida State League, spent most of the season at Palm Beach, and started off a little slow, like batting some like 216 for the first month. But then he got his feet underneath him, and his manager down at Dan Bordeaux was really helpful in getting his feet on the ground, Dylan told me. So he's a guy who's going to be ready at, you know, for double A at the age of 20. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And double A is a hitter's league in Springfield. And so, you know, he's a guy that I think is a definite breakout potential guy this year. And we're talking about a guy that, you know, could be in St. Louis in a year or a little more and, would still be in his early 20s.
You probably aren't thinking about this right now, but you should be. Summer's around the corner. All of a sudden, you have to turn on your AC. Everybody in town is going to do it at the same time. Get your annual AC tune-up right now. If you need that tune-up, call Design Air Heating and Cooling. If you need a new system, Design Air is the number one Trane dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a Trane. Check out my friends at designairservice.com. Proud partner of the St. Louis Cardinals. I know you love talking about the step camp, which is the top prospects coming early, getting with the coaching staff, former players, and it's run by Gary LaRock. Does a great job with the minor leagues. Two add-ons, John Naglowski and Steven Trosclair. Tell us about those two.
John Naglowski is an interesting guy. He was originally drafted by Oakland, came out of Florida State. And he's a first baseman, but he's backwards for most of them. And he's a right-handed hitter and a left-handed thrower, which is just the opposite of what you think. He got released by the A's, reinvented himself in independent ball. The Cardinals acquired him a couple years ago, and he's been at Springfield ever since. And he's a 300 hitter. He's got good, not great power, good defensively. The Cardinals sent him to Arizona Fall League, actually, in 2017. But he stepped behind Ronel Ravello, who we've seen, another guy, who's looked good at first base in early, spring action. And so Lavello's going to be back at first base in Memphis this year, it appears. And so Naglowski, there's probably no room for Naglowski. He's going to go back and be one of the leaders at Springfield, it looks like.
So a couple of add-ons there. And for fans that are watching the games on Fox Sports Midwest, really it is a bonus and kind of a treat and really a reward for some of those players from step camp to be taken out of the camp, and then occasionally they'll appear in some of the games, won't they?
Clay Robertson, shortstop. The two of them didn't get in the game, but actually we did see a third baseman, Evan Mendoza, who they actually had playing first after Paul Goldschmidt left the game, and Mendoza had a hit, had a triple, actually. It was a great reward for these kids to be able to get dressed, be with the major leaguers for a day, and when they go back to minor league camp, they can tell everybody what it was like, and the next day, you know, it's going to be another two or three guys. And it's a great thing that the Cardinals do to, even though these guys aren't a part of major league camps, to give them a little taste of what it's like if they can, you know, make those final steps.
As folks are watching the game, I would advise them to make sure you go online if you want to do it there, or you can order, have it in your hands. I use it all the time, the Cardinal Nation's 2019 Prospect Guide. And if they have that, Brian, it's on your website. You can also order it. You'll get it mailed to you at your house. Tell us what is inside your guide.
190 pages of information on the top prospects in the organization in detail. We go into great depth about 60 different players. We go look back at last year and show some of the leaders, some of the stats, all-stars, leaders statistically. But then there's also historical information about the past international signees and the key draft classes and the guys that in the top 10 rounds of the drafts, managers of the year, George Kissel Award winners, just all kinds of information about not only the prospects this year, but also historical information about the Cardinals minor league system. This is stuff that I collect myself. And I realized, hey, you know, this should be shared with people because it's not available anywhere else.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been using just a little bit of your stuff.
Yeah, it's nice. I can hear a few words now and then that are familiar to me, and I definitely do appreciate it.
Just a few, though, not a lot.
Hey, you know, paraphrase.
I'll admit, I use a lot of it. And it's not being paraphrased. I cheat. I told you, Brian, I cheat off of you. I'm glad that you weren't sitting next to me in chemistry in my freshman year in college. We would have been
in
trouble.
It's collaboration, Dan. It's collaboration. You're part of a lab group.
I love it.
I know the routine well.
Brian, thanks as always. TheCardinalNation.com. Make sure you go to it, subscribe, and also make sure you go pick up The Cardinal Nation's 2019 Prospect Guide. Brian, I'll catch up with you next Wednesday morning. Thanks so much.
You got it.